Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Pastor Sardis calling out of Cleveland, Ohio. This is Empowerment Word with Pastor Sawyers. Our topic today is men influencing their culture based on Christian values, part 3. This is something like a little mini-series that we've been going on, and the Lord has continued to bless us, so we're going to continue with that. And my section is in the news. I'm going to do something a little different because to go along with our series. I'm going to talk about tonight, stand up, stand out, and stand firm, because this is what our men need to do today. I would like to talk about, you know, standing up, standing out, and standing firm. We need more men to stand up and be counted. It's time for our women not to lead. It's time for our men to take their rightful place in leading, in the home, in the church, and on our jobs. I have nothing against the sisters doing what God has called them to do, but it's time for us to take our rightful place. Ezekiel 2:1 says, "And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." So if we stand on the word of God, he will speak for us and through us. Stand up, stand out. Standing out is one way that people know that you are a child of the King. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." It is nice that people say you look like someone, a movie star, a preacher, or someone famous. I know that my family said I look like T.D. Jakes, which is not a bad thing. The problem is when you start acting like you're a lookalike and not who God called you to be. We should stand out and be seen. That way our life may bring someone to Christ. What is our life showing? How are we standing out? Are we noticed as a follower of Christ, or are we a part of the world, or no one noticed? Stand up, stand out. Stand up, stand out, stand firm. We need to stand firm on our beliefs. Psalms 1:3. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of the water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." There's a saying that I used to hear from the elders when I was growing up: if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for anything. This is not something as Christians that we want to do. We don't want to sway away from our beliefs that Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins, and he rose again, and he has prepared a place for us. My challenge is for tonight is for the men. We've got to stand up and take our rightful place. One, you know, we cry a lot about because we're not being blessed about this. We're not being blessed on a job, our home, our finances. But our thing is, are we in our rightful place? Are we standing up? Are we standing out? Are we standing firm on God's word? Because if we do those three things, God will bless us according to his word. So that's my challenge for the men tonight. Stand up, stand out, and stand firm. Be blessed.
Brother Corey. Hello, Brother Corey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. I apologize for that. I was experiencing some technical difficulties. I was just thanking Elder Sawyers for that timely message. It's definitely a call to action for men all over this country, not just in this country, but in this world, to just take our rightful place. You know, men, we are the spiritual leaders of our households. We should be active not only in our church, but in our communities and schools as well. So yeah, definitely thank you for that inspiring message, Elder Sawyers. But I want to switch gears here and talk about an issue that's not only important to men, but people in general, but as spiritual leaders of the household, of course, we are men supposed to be imparting this wisdom, this knowledge to people who are in our houses, our kids, our wives, our families. Now, this is an issue that's really not discussed in a lot of churches, but I'm just basing this on my experience. When you are walking with God, you know, when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, it's amazing how you can see the face of God in almost anything. Well, I've seen the face of God in my diet. You might say to yourself, wow, is this guy really going to talk about health and diet? Yes, I am, because we have a responsibility to take care of the vessels that God has blessed us with. My weight has been up and down for the last, this is really all over the course of my adulthood. Most recently, starting in July, I embarked upon the process of losing weight. Since then, since the end of July, early August, I've lost 15 pounds. I've had to pray to God for the discipline to continue with this diet, but God has granted me the discipline necessary to do so. Now, I'm going to say something that you know, many of you may be able to relate to. Bishop, you and I are from the same hometown. We grew up together, so I know you can relate to what I'm about to say. But yeah, within the African-American community, but particularly within churches, the African-American, you know, church experience, we don't necessarily promote the best practices with regard to our diet and our health. I remember growing up as a child in South Carolina, and, you know, after church, if we would have after church meals, those meals would consist of some of the most delicious, absolutely sumptuous, but unhealthiest, you know, meals that you or foods that you can think of, fried chicken, not just fried in vegetable fat, I'm sorry, vegetable oil or peanut oil, but, you know, animal fat, lard. You had lard in South Carolina, pig fat, macaroni and cheese with five different cheeses in it, pecan pie full of sugar and butter, and this foods that were really full of cholesterol, you know. And we eat these foods on a regular basis, but then years later we wonder why we develop, you know, illnesses such as diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension, high cholesterol, and other diseases that can manifest as a result of a poor diet. And, you know, I'm kind of reluctant to say this, but quite often in churches when these types of illnesses befall, you know, our members, we often say, well, you know, I'm under an attack of the devil. And, yeah, I know, I understand that the devil, the enemy, Satan, can attack us with various illnesses. But it's also up to us to educate ourselves about proper diet and the benefits, proper eating and the benefits of exercise, foods that we definitely need to avoid, and also foods that we need to eat in moderation. Now, I'm losing all of this weight. God has exposed me to resources, information, literature that has been of great benefit to me. My wife is a health nut. Thank God for her. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a health nut, but just being with her has been a blessing to my life in that she's told me about the benefits of limiting my salt intake, the benefits of limiting processed foods from my diet or eliminating processed foods from my diet, the benefits of eating more fruits and vegetables. And you know, if you really look, you can see these types of lessons throughout the Bible as well. If you go to Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were smarter, faster, more healthier than everyone else that ate the king's meat. They subjected themselves to eating a diet that was mainly comprised of fruits and vegetables, and the Bible is described as pulse. And at the end of their trial, or after they were reexamined again, they were more healthier. They stood out from the crowd, you know. God has blessed us with nutritious foods. God has populated this earth with all kinds of foods and fruits and vegetables that we can partake of. And, you know, there are some foods that we really need to eat in moderation, but that's just truly the key. eating in moderation. I'm not suggesting to anyone that you not eat your gospel bird on Sundays. I'm not suggesting to you that you shouldn't eat any macaroni and cheese or peach cobbler or rice and gravy or your smothered pork chops. I'm not going to go as far as to suggest that. But God does want us to be healthy and take care, again, of the vessels that he has blessed us with. So what I'm going to suggest to everyone is to just really speak to your cardiologist, speak to your dietitian, to speak to your doctor about things that you can do to, you know, incorporate healthy eating into your daily routine. It can include, you know, maybe not having sausage, scrapple, eggs, grits and butter with cheese for breakfast, and maybe replacing that with some yogurt, fruit, or a granola bar. Perhaps speak to your churches. Perhaps someone can start a health and fitness ministry. I know many churches in this area, in the area where I live, which is the Washington, D.C. area, that have health and nutrition ministries. They go on bike rides. They do yoga. They may go work out in the park. But it's up to us, again, to take care of the vessels that we were blessed with. We have to be mindful of gluttony. I often tell people, if I like something, I don't want a little bit of it. I want a lot of it. You know, when I go to the buffet, I just don't have one plate. I have several plates. I try to eat my money's worth. But the Holy Spirit revealed to me that, Corey, you know what? You might be dealing with the spirit of gluttony, you know, just wanting to overeat, just wanting to gorge on foods that you know are not good for you, and you wonder why you're dealing with certain health issues. Please be wise, Corey. That's what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. As I was preparing for this lesson, God directed me to Proverbs 23:20-21, and it says, "Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. But drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsy, and they're eventually clothed in rags." God is speaking to us directly about overindulging in the foods that we eat on a regular basis, okay? Just make some small changes for yourself. Again, you might want to change your breakfast routine. You may want to go meatless on certain days. Or you may, you know, decide to eat, drink smoothies, or go to a juice bar as opposed to going to Golden Corral. That seems to be the favorite after-church spot in many African-American communities. But you'd be surprised how much MSG and sodium and just fatty acids and things that we really don't need in our lives are in those types of foods. So just be careful, saints. That's all I'm saying. The last verse that I want to direct us to can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. We've all heard this before. It says, "Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom have received from God?" Verse 20 goes on to say, honor God with your bodies. Now, of course, we have to be mindful of what we're taking into our spirit. We have to be mindful of the types of environments that we place ourselves in. We have to be mindful of the types of influences, demonic influences that we subject ourselves to. Those demonic influences can come in the form of a movie or a place that you know you're not supposed to hang out, or some of the music, the filth that's played on the radio. But we also need to be mindful of honoring God with the foods that we eat so that we can, again, protect the vessel that he's brought us with. So I'm not suggesting to anyone that you need to be a vegan or a vegetarian or a pescatarian. All I'm suggesting to you is seek the face of God concerning the foods that you take into your body. And seek the face of God concerning the foods that you take into your body, because a lot of the illnesses that befall us truly are attacks of the devil. But with education, access to the right resources, we can prevent a lot of those illnesses. So I'm going to continue on my path. Please pray for me, and I'm definitely going to pray for you. My name is Brother Corey Buford, broadcasting to you live from Riverdale, Maryland, near Washington, D.C. Be blessed, everyone.
Thank you, Brother Corey. This is Bishop Wayne Snyder from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm coming with you very briefly with an educator's moment of reflection. Education is a valuable tool. Without education, no one in the earth would ever be able to progress in their personal learning. Many times when people hear the word education, the subjects of mathematics, language arts, the sciences, social studies begin to weigh in on the recesses of people's minds. Education denotes learning. Education brings into consideration that assessments, strategies, structured learning, and some level of investment is taking place, enabling the receiver to better oneself in a particular area of knowledge in order to perfect certain skills. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, King Solomon states, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give solely to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding again shall attain unto wise counsels." It's interesting to note that in the first five verses of the chapter, Solomon points out three different phases of a man. He says a young man, a wise man, and a man of understanding. To a young man, he says that knowledge and discretion is used to make one ponder before sinning. A young man looks at this in order that they have a responsibility to make a right choice. Verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." A man of understanding will want to be counseled by an older wise man or older wiser men. They will be quick to be instructed by someone who has already experienced the same thing. These wise counsels can save many men from making mistakes. And the wise believer will have the ability to guide or govern others with truth. Please note, I understand that Proverbs deals with men and women, but our focus on tonight is still dealing with men influencing their culture based on Christian values. So tonight I'm excited because I have two brothers, anointed of God, men who are on fire with God, men who are anointed by God, men of great testimony, men who fit in that young adult category, that of Minister David Cunningham and that of Minister Mario Hauser. They're both men of God that serve faithfully under their great man of God, that of the Right Reverend, the Bishop J.D. Ellis II, and of their pastor, Dr. Sabrina Ellis, who are members of the Pentecostal Church, members of the Pentecostal Church of Christ here in Cleveland, Ohio. And listeners, tonight I want you to hear what they have to share. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to strengthen you, and it's going to encourage you. So at this time, we welcome Minister Cunningham and Minister Hauser to the Empowering Word Blog Talk Radio Show. Hear ye them.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Minister Mario Hauser. We bring greetings to you from the Cleveland, Ohio area. And yes, in sticking with the theme of men influencing their culture based on Christian values, we want to talk initially from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, where it reads, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy," I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." What I want to talk about and what David and I will discuss is essentially how your environment can speak to how Christian values are developed. And essentially what I mean by that is our culture and the environment in which our young people are brought up in is impacted and affected by the surroundings that they're in. When you go back to the scripture where it mentions that the eye sees, that usually means there's a chance that whatever the eye beholds will usually have a greater impact on the body and therefore have an impact on where one may go within his life. As young people, They're surrounded by violence. They're surrounded by sexuality. They're surrounded by so many negative influences that they risk being caught up in that the particular environment. And so essentially it becomes their normal. And when we talk about influencing the men and bringing them to Christian values, we want to be able to change and give them a new normal. And I'll come back to that in a moment, but Brother David, you want to jump in and help me out with that?
Absolutely. This is Minister David Cottingham with Pentecostal Church of Christ here in Cleveland. Minister Hauser touched on briefly our young people, what they see and what they hear. It can dictate a sense of lifestyle, a sense of purpose that they only find in this secular world. I've noticed that young people enjoy music. They enjoy movies and such. But you have to be so very careful in what you allow your intake to be. What you take in will determine being a young person, a young man, so to speak, being a young man, taking in those things will allow yourself to give off those things. So if you are watching violence, then you're going to be violent. If you're hearing violence, you're going to portray violence. So I think that as young men, you have to be very mindful of what you take in, and what you receive, and what you give off.
Absolutely. And so I spoke briefly of, and what David is actually leaning in towards is creating a new normal. So the new normal is essentially placing young people, placing ourselves in an environment that is condoned. What do I mean by that? For example, growing up, I grew up in the inner city of East Cleveland. However, even though I'm from East Cleveland, even though I walk the streets of East Cleveland, that doesn't necessarily mean that my environment was going to determine who I was going to be. Because I became associated and attached to the Pentecostal Church of Christ, I also had an opportunity to join programs such as the Civil Air Patrol that gave me a sense of pride, that gave me a sense of who I was and helped pull out of me leadership traits. It gave me a positive image of what it really meant to be successful. Just because I was from the inner city doesn't necessarily mean that I have to stay there. And in a lot of ways, a lot of my peers lived there and potentially, and I'm sorry, and actually died there because they never had an opportunity to come out of it. So what we're saying is when you place yourself in an environment and you align yourself with people that have a sincere interest in you as a person, and these influences take positive root, you then can begin to have a different conversation about where you're going to go in life. And as Christian men, it's very important that we reach back and pull along these younger brothers to say, listen, you don't have to be this way. There's another way. And once you create options for yourself, you then have an opportunity to go in a different direction. The other thing we want to be able to do is tap into the potential of a lot of these young men. As a person who is, yes, in charge of oversee the men's ministry, and as David oversees the young adults, we have to have the ability to tap in and use our influence inside the church, but also more so outside of the church. And you do that, again, by talking to these guys, just having a regular conversation without titles, without, you know, any fanfare, just, hi, my name is Mario. What's up, man? What can I do for you? How can I help you? And get to know really what the story is. Without that, you don't have any access. And you have to come with them, not necessarily Bible thumping, but also come with them more so with the sense of just being real. And then as the relationship grows, you're able to layer in Bible principles and really help them develop what it is to be a man of God. Essentially, what am I saying? We have to take interest in people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But that's essentially what we're preaching on, and really just be willing to get your hands dirty, because the impact is only going to take place when you get down there, roll your sleeves up, and just decide that I'm going to do some work. So when we talk about influencing the culture based on Christian values, you can take those same values that are instilled, and you just go to work. You go to the field. The fields are right. It's just a matter of us going out there and doing the work. David?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mr. Mario. If we as the young adults would reach back, as you said, to the younger men and allow them to reach up to us and we connect, I believe that the connection would be so powerful that we really could turn this world upside down. One of the things that we have to do with our young men, especially our African-American brothers, is we have to let them know that they possess internal value and significance, because God doesn't make any junk. So you were never a mistake. No matter what you've heard, no matter what lie was told to you, you were never a mistake. And because of that, because God placed enough trust in you, you will possess an amazing contribution to make the lives of others better. What am I saying? You have to speak encouragement to the younger. You've got to speak life into them. I understand that we have faced a lot of trials in the last couple months and even year with the death of our African-American brothers. But we have to grab a hold to the ones that are left and understand that black lives matter. They do. Sure they do. But all lives do matter. We have to get our young brothers, we have to speak life into them, and we have to, where they have fallen, and we must carry them. We've got to do that. It's a life or death situation, and they are in need of the older men to reach back. I can admit and say that I did not have a lot of older men reach out to me, but I had a couple good men that reached out, and they really cared. Young people know when you care and when you don't care. They know what's real and they know what's fake. And so you must, as you said, Minister Hauser, you have to approach them with a real attitude, with a real spirit. You've got to do that. One of the things that I've noticed with the young men of today is that their greatest enemy is impatience. You've got to have patience. We don't get everything we want overnight. And so being the older young adults, reaching back to the teenagers, because it starts even at a younger age than that, because we have so many children who are fatherless. No, I'm not saying that you have to step in and be daddy, but you can step in and be the big brother. You can step in and be that uncle. I have a lot of the young people at my church who refer to me as Uncle David. And these are teenagers. These are the children, because they see something in me that I've allowed them to see. They see that I care. They see that I'm concerned, and they see that I love them, because I show them. Action as a man speaks louder than words.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that I think I thought about, David, while you were talking, was going back to how visual this generation is. And like you said, our actions speak louder than our words. What they see is how they'll react based on our actions. And because this generation is so visual, what I come to surmise is, and if you want them to be a new creature in Christ, you have to show them what a new creature in Christ looks like first. The example has to be given and has to frame it in order for this generation to really take hold and see that it's okay. It's okay to love the Lord. It's okay to serve your church. It's okay to have one wife. It's okay to, you know, not have kids all over the place. It's okay not to rob and steal. It's okay not to sex up everybody. It's okay to let's just put it out. It's okay not to be gay. That, you know, you can be a heterosexual male or female, and despite what the world says, that you don't have to be that way. God didn't create you that way. And so it's incumbent upon men, especially in dealing with younger men and boys, to provide that manly male example. You know, we keep saying examples where, you know, in a lot of ways, what's wrong has now become right in this generation and with this generation. And I think it's incumbent upon people like David or myself and other young men to say, no, I don't care what this world says. Here's scripturally, here's your example. Let me be your example. Let me show you what it's like and what steps you need to take to be a real man in this world. You work hard to take care of your family. You love one wife. You love the Lord more than above everything. And as hard as it is to do all that, it can still be done. It can still be done. I don't care, you know, what obstacles or tasks are laid before you. When you take the approach of as Minister David laid out, you take the approach where you're genuine about your actions, you're genuine about what it is that you want to accomplish with someone, then you're able to make that impact, and you're able to reach out and to grab that young person and say, come on, man, let me show you which way to go. I think that's all that David and I have at this time. Mr. Snyder, I just want to thank you again for the opportunity. And for those that tuned in, we really just thank you again for hearing us out. If you have any questions or concerns, you can reach me on Twitter at BigReal315. I would love to converse with you. And I'll allow David, if he wants, just to pass along the information that he has.
Thank you, Mario. Also, if you have any questions or comments or concerns for myself, you can reach me on Facebook. I'm under David Cottingham. You can find me there along with my other social media handles, and I would be more than happy to converse with you some of the topics that we've touched on this evening. This has been a wonderful discussion, and I'm grateful to Bishop Snyder for allowing us the time and the chance and opportunity to reach back and touch the lives of those who we influence. So I thank you again, Bishop Snyder, for allowing God to use you in such a matter as this, this evening. Blessings to you, Bishop.
Blessings to you, too. We're getting ready to go. I want to say thank you again for Minister Cottingham, Minister Hauser. So I'm going to put one of you on the spot. We're about to get off, but I just feel a leading to ask one of you if you will do a prayer real quick for those of my listeners, especially young men, because I know there are young men that listen to this broadcast. Either one, if you just close us out in prayer and pray for those young men that heard that word tonight, heard everything that was spoken tonight. If you would just, why don't you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, we come before you as humbly as we know how. We thank and we praise you for allowing us to come together, bound together in unity, bound together in love, bound together in commitment, to touch the lives of a young man who may be listening this evening. Father, I ask that you would allow the words that were spoken this evening to penetrate the heart of a young man. Let him think on the things that were mentioned. Let him dream about what was said. Allow him to realize that he is more than a conqueror. He is not a slave, but he is a prince. Allow him to realize that he has destiny and purpose. And we thank you now, God, for what you're doing in each and every person's life that is connected to this broadcast. We give you praise now. We love you. We adore you. We appreciate you. Thank you for raising up a generation of saints. Thank you for raising our young men. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, this has been Empowering Word Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Bishop Wayne Snyder, along with my co-host,
Pastor Sawyers.
Corey Buford.
Thank you for joining us. Stay alert to our Facebook page when we announce the next Empowering Word Blog Talk Radio Show. Be blessed.